Welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow, and I am joined by my little redheaded saint, little angel, sweet cookie, my cookie, Devin Leary.
Okay, I strongly disavow that nickname, but thanks.
Devin, I think you're aware, and I know you're counting down the days, but I'm turning 31 on April 23rd.
Congratulations.
Can you believe it?
Congrats. Yeah.
I have to say, after almost dying a week before my 28th birthday, I have a completely different view on age. I almost joined the 27 club. I now am just very grateful I'm still here on planet Earth and can still participate in birthdays. I can still be on Instagram. I can sell my stuff on Poshmark. I can take a walk with my dogs. I can eat donuts. There's so much to do.
Yeah.
So it's okay to turn 31. I'm very grateful.
That's a beautiful sentiment. And I am grateful that you are turning 31. And
that it's not you.
No. I don't even care about that. I feel like, actually, I know that this will be really annoying to everyone who's not in their 20s anymore, and they'll probably be like, shut the fuck up, you piece of shit, and that's fine. But
that's normally what people feel like around you.
I know, as usual, the people who listen to this podcast will think I wish Devin would shut the fuck up because she's such a piece of shit.
The piece of shit.
No, but I feel so done with my 20s. I'm in a huge place of uncertainty right now where I feel like I've chosen like a career path that's not really like stable, and I'm constantly questioning it. I have no way to plan for my future. I'm like freelance looking for a job, have no idea when I'll have like good insurance again or like what. So I'm kind of over this 20s part of my life, and I actually feel like the pandemic has mentally aged me many years, because when the news came out that people 30 plus could get vaccinated in New York, I texted it to one of my best friends from high school, and I was like, oh my god, like, we can get vaccinated. And she was like, I'm not 30, I'm your age. And I was like, wait,
and neither are you.
We're not 30. Like, wait, we're still not even 30. Like, this is so unfair.
I don't think that's a weird thing to say. I don't want to do my 20s over again. You couldn't pay me.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that. There's some times I miss going and partying when partying was fun and good. And I miss going out in New York City to like a diner with you and Holly and Beth. I mean, those are times I miss, but they have nothing really to do with youth. They just have to do with us all being together. And I don't miss being unsure, but I will say everything you're going through is stuff that most people go through.
Right.
Everyone you see who's been successful has at one point eaten pasta without being able to afford sauce and being sick of butter pasta, but it's only $2 to buy a box, and it just is what it is, and not knowing if you'll be successful or even just stable or will have insurance. I think a lot of people go through that, and we often feel alone being so unsure of the future, but it's actually just a part of, I don't know, staking your ground, saying this is what I want to do.
Okay, well, my one question for you is, do you recall Hurricane Sandy when we were in an apartment with no power and no water, and somehow your boyfriend at the time made us butter pasta for dinner?
I just want to shout out again to Yoni Shrira, one of the best exes in the game, just a very, very sweet man. And I will say, starting to date him in a blackout in a hurricane was one of the more romantic times in my life. And I will forgive the fact that everyone in the house was so mean to me and we were all rationing cigarettes and hiding them from each other because we were running out. And wait. I remember, don't get started on how I don't finish a cigarette.
Do you want me to even go there? Because this is one of your worst egregiousnesses in all time.
Devin and our friend Holly hate that I can smoke half a cigarette and then throw it out because they think I'm wasting cigarettes, which I
think... It's factual. A cigarette is a dollar at least. For in the city, a pack of cigarettes is $14 divided by 10 cigarettes. So a cigarette is $1.50. Smoking half of it is wasting 75 cents.
Okay, I hear you.
And what do women make? 75 cents on the dollar. So it's wasting a dollar.
It was also just really bad because we were running out of cigarettes. It was so funny, though, because people were hiding cigarettes in Devin's apartment. I opened up a medicine cabinet and saw a little pile of cigarettes that someone had been hiding.
And then we, like, walked through the storm looking for a bodega. Like, we braved it. We braved the storm to try to find an open bodega for cigarettes. And I was terrified. I'm not going to lie. You could make an entire HBO series like Treme just about... the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy when we were trying to find cigarettes. Just kidding. That's offensive. But I still think that it was really hard.
It was a wild time. So, yeah, those were times in my 20s I miss. The hurricanes, the blackouts, the kisses in the dark, the wasting cigarettes and having you and Holly scream at me. And I don't know if I'll get that in my 30s. I miss the community of my early 20s, but... what I think is funny is how my parents got together when they were really young. They had us when they were super young. When my parents were my age, they had two kids at this point. I can't believe I thought I was going to have kids and be married at 31.
I know.
I don't know how to make myself a good cup of coffee. I know how to make coffee.
Okay, well, that is yikes. No, I know. My mom also had two kids by now. And I'm just like, wait, what in God's name? Because I literally am like accidentally investing in cryptocurrency when I'm in debt. So I don't like understand how I would care for anything. Although I did almost text you right before this podcast and say like, okay, what if we fostered a dog, you and I, and the dog was pregnant and then it had puppies? And then we raised puppies together, like just for a fun like thing to do in the summer.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I mean, my dream is to one day live on a communal farm and have you next door.
Yeah, I'm down.
Then I could pop over and say, will you take care of my children for a week? I want to go to Atlantic City and burn shit down because I just went through a painful divorce. And you'd be like, yeah, of course.
No, I would be like, okay, they'll stay with their dad. I am coming to Atlantic City.
We are talking about breakups today, speaking of my future painful divorce.
Speaking of Atlantic City.
We just wanted to talk about, we get so many questions about, should I break up? Should I stay together? Should I go on his social media still? Or should I throw my phone into the ocean? And so we got the opportunity to talk to a breakup coach who is a pro at knowing what to do in these situations. But we realized after the fact that we haven't yet on our podcast touched on leaving an abusive or an emotionally abusive situation. And I mean, I think I can speak for Devin and myself when I say we do not feel like we have the authority or that we can step on a soapbox and say how to exit a situation that is emotionally belittling or God forbid physically dangerous. We want to someday talk to someone who can give us advice on how to do that ourselves or how to talk to a friend who is going through that. But it's interesting because it reminds me of the clip from the Gayle King FKA Twigs interview that we actually posted on our Instagram, which was Gayle King saying, and to Gayle's credit, she said, I don't know if this is appropriate to ask, but why didn't you leave? And FKA Twigs replies, I think we have to stop asking that question. And I know you're asking it out of love, but I'm not going to answer that question anymore because the question should really be to the abuser. Why are you holding someone hostage with abuse? And I loved this point. I thought this was so powerful. She said, people say it can't have been that bad because you would just leave. You would have left. And it's actually because it was that bad that I couldn't leave. It just reminds me, it just makes me think of being in the eye of a tornado and people saying, like, get out. Like, walk away from the eye of the tornado that's encompassing your whole life.
Yeah, I totally agree, Carolina, with everything that you just said. And I think the reason that FKA Twigs clip went so viral is because it's still so prevalent for people to respond to situations of abuse by saying, why did that person stay? Or they should have just left. Or if, like you said, if it really was that bad, they would have just left. I think that's still like a really common sentiment. And so I almost don't even blame Gail or some people for thinking or asking that, because it's so like mainstream in our consciousness. So that's why I think it was so important and like powerful that FKA Twigs explained why that question shouldn't be asked.
Well, it's also the idea that abuse is a female problem, not a male problem. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to get out of these relationships? Because it's on us to protect ourselves from abuse rather than on abusers to stop being fucking monsters.
I think if most people were to stop and like reflect on their past relationships, or if a lot of people were to stop and reflect on that, or even just like hookups or casual things, most of us have an experience that we can't explain why we stayed in it for so long.
Yes.
Like, most of us have an experience where we talk about a behavior that happened and people are like, really? You put up with that? Why? Or like, just someone we kept going back to. And it feels, at least speaking for myself from personal experience, it feels inexplicable. Like, it feels like, I don't know. It's a mystery to me, too. Like, I don't know why that was so hard to see. But so, yeah, I think that we like to separate ourselves from these narratives. Like, that would never happen to me. I'm not that type of person. And I think that's like a huge part of the problem, because that it's not about a type of person. It's not about like the victim at all, really. It's about the perpetrator. So
yeah, I watched an Oprah Amy Schumer interview where they were both saying that they almost didn't believe they were victims of abuse because they had an idea of what a victim of abuse looked like. And right. They thought, I'm not her. Yeah, I mean, I think a few things. A, I get nervous talking about this subject on the podcast because I've had so many amazing boyfriends that I worry that people think that I'm speaking on behalf of all men when I'm really speaking about specific experiences that some women go through that have nothing to do with the women who are going through it. Anyone reacts that way. The human mind is very vulnerable. And I also think that I think about the Ryan Adams New York Times expose, and I read that expose 3 times because I had never heard someone being condemned for emotional abuse in a major publication and belittling someone and threatening to hurt himself if they left or wouldn't leave a room to call him. And I just thought that's not physical abuse, but it's similar to some weird manipulative conniving dynamics people go through. And it also reminded me of how we don't know what someone's relationship looks like ever, and because we're not alone with that couple, and how as a friend, sometimes the most loving thing you can do is being there no matter what and not passing judgment on why someone is staying and only encouraging that person that you are there no matter what. And I think that I hope our listeners have been listening to this podcast long enough to know that both Devin and I would never judge someone who's having trouble leaving an unhappy relationship.
Yeah.
I think people often stay in things too long. I rarely hear about someone leaving before they should.
Right. Like at the exact right time and having no regrets.
Even though my last 2 relationships had really healthy breakups and we didn't. But that was because of my very early relationships when we really fought the process of ending things. And when I was in, you know, college and my very early 20s, I didn't know that endings could be okay. So me and my partners at that time fought them until they were really ugly.
I think all of this is to say that this interview that we did that you'll hear on this episode today was really just like a light and fun conversation that we really enjoyed about pretty much like basic breakup stuff and relationships ending that aren't as complicated as the ones we just talked about where there's abuse involved. And we wanted to clarify that and clarify that it is important to us to discuss more complicated and dangerous situations and more layered issues within the umbrella of leaving a relationship. So we will make a commitment to do that. But we also really loved this conversation and we're excited for you guys to hear it.
I also want to just go over some listener questions before our interview begins.
Yes.
We have some really good ones. One is from Maria. She says, "Hello, Carolina and Devin. I was wondering if you could talk about saying I love you to someone first and not hearing it back. I have too much experience with this." She says, "I've been dating someone on and off for about a year, but it's gotten more serious over the last few months. And yeah, I love the guy, okay? I told him recently, and he said, while he has strong feelings for me and is committed to continuing to evolve our relationship, he's not quite ready to say it to me yet. I told him I was proud of how I felt and that I wanted to share it with him, but my ego is a bit bruised. How do you cope with feeling insecure about not hearing it back at the same time? I'm trying to stay grounded and that people express love in different ways and feel comfortable saying it at different rates. I should trust that he will get there if our relationship continues to progress as it is, because it's loving and wonderful, but it's hard. Obviously, I've been through this multiple times because I can't. I've only now in my early 30s been able to not say something that's on my mind. But this relationship sounds great. I love how he responded. I love that he was honest. That means that when he does say, I love you, you can really take that in because he's not saying it blithely. He's not saying it just to keep things even keel. He wants to build a really good foundation with you. And it sounds like this relationship is progressing. I sometimes have treated I love yous like, okay, we should say I love you now so I can feel safe. And I have loved the people I've said I love you to. But one thing that sounds wild, but that I am okay with, and I think it's weird thinking it from a female perspective than from a male perspective, is what if my love for someone doesn't have to be at the perfect time for them? What if it doesn't have to be reciprocated immediately for it to be a good relationship? So in my last relationship, I knew I was in love with this person, I think within a month of dating them. I was just head over heels. And I knew they weren't there yet. And that sounds insane, but I just knew it. And when I said it to that person a few months later, which I was like, okay, it was actually because North Korea had like a nuclear missile or something. And I was worried that the world was going to end before I told it to them. So I told it to them and Kim Jong-un, I guess, heard that and decided not to launch a nuclear missile. But I was, as you're describing, so insecure afterwards. I think I even texted Devin. I was just like, oh, why did I do this Nancy Kerrigan voice? What if I loved him at that point and he wasn't ready to say it back? And he said a very similar thing to what your boyfriend said. And what if that's okay?
Yeah.
If I truly love someone, can I seek to love them first? And can I be okay with that? And can I love them without being self-seeking or needing it back immediately? Sort of, can I love them for free?
Yeah, I think that this one is, Carolina's at a much more evolved place with stuff like this than I am because I relate so strongly to this email, but I still am very much like stuck on ideas like, if you know, then you know. So like, just say it if you know, you know what I mean? Like, I still fall into those patterns a lot where I feel like Lorelai Gilmore in the episode of Gilmore Girls where she talks to Luke and they're like engaged but they haven't set a date for the wedding, they keep pushing it off, and she like comes to talk to him in the middle of the night and she's like, let's go to Vegas right now, let's elope right now, like let's get married right now, and he's kind of hesitates and she basically is like, if you're not ready now then you don't love me enough and I don't want to go through with this. At the time that I first watched that, or I guess I should say the first 7 or so times that I watched that episode, I thought that she was like crazy. And I was like, well, okay, that's so unfair. You can't just like go up to someone in the middle of the night and be like, marry me now, whatever. I still now at this point, like, I kind of feel like, well, he should have been able to.
I love that proposal.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I do feel like the person you're with should be able to say after a certain point, they should be able to say whether they want to, like, be with you forever or not. But I will say at the beginning, like, at the very early on process that you're talking about in this email, I don't think that's the case. I think it takes people a lot of time to catch up to each other with this stuff. And I also think that it depends so much on, like, your past experiences and it past, like, who knows if this person you're with had past experiences saying they love someone that didn't work out and who knows. So I think that I agree with Carolina. This sounds like a great partner who had a great response to you. I love how you said that you're proud of how you felt and that you said it. I totally agree that it's a beautiful thing that you shared that and, like, that's all you should look at it as. And the thing that I always try to remember is, like, these are the facts and that's all I have to work with. I don't have to create a narrative otherwise. So, like, the fact is you love this person and you told them that.
And you're happy. You're in a happy relationship with them.
This person said that they have strong feelings for you. So, like, you don't have to go into narratives of, like, what I would tend to do, which is, like, well, then does he not love me as much as I love him? And then, like, well, what am I just, like, waiting for the bomb to go off where he says he's not whatever? Like, all of that stuff is a waste of time because that will be revealed eventually and you don't have to control it. So just, like, try to be present, like you said, with feeling proud of how you feel and just trust the process as hard as that is sometimes.
There was someone recently who I heard talking about how she loved her husband more than he loved her and she didn't care. They have two kids. She said something like, I know he'll think that if he was here, he would say, what are you talking about? I love you so much. And she was like, no, I'm obsessed with him. I get so excited when he texts me. Da, 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 da. I think that sounds like a really happy relationship. And I would just guard against when you're mad or when you guys have a small thing, not blowing it up to, oh, this is because I love you and you don't love me. Because that's also a narrative to get stuck in.
That's also what I always say when Carolina and I disagree about what we're going to talk about on the podcast. I say, oh, this is because I told you I loved you and you said you don't love me.
Isn't that so funny? What if that happened with friendships where I was like, when in reality, girls say I love you like after one night, like drunk in a bathroom together.
I know. I was going to say it definitely has happened to me where like I'm not really close with a girl and she'll say like, okay, love you, girl. And I'm like, oh, shit. Shit.
No, you don't.
Slowly slither out of the room, walk away backwards in slow motion, please. No, no, no. So yeah.
We have another quick question before we go to our interview.
This one is from Emily. She says, Carolina and Devin, I have a question. I have been seeing this guy from Tinder for a couple of months and went in not wanting a relationship because I'm only 20. Okay, wow. And we'll be moving to New York this summer. Okay, congratulations. Best decision you've ever made. However, I seem to have caught stupid feelings and found myself getting super jealous when he went on a trip to the beach with six of his female friends this last weekend. Okay. I know he had a history with one and didn't know how to address my feelings with him without sounding clingy. I find myself wanting commitment but not a relationship, which seems unfair of me, but I don't know how to handle it. Help. So basically she's like having a casual thing with this person, but then noticed herself feeling jealous, even though they're not in a relationship, which I definitely have experience
with. Of course. I want to talk about something my therapist told me.
Okay.
So when a woman has an orgasm with a man.
Yes.
She is, regardless of whether she wants to be or not, the oxytocin that is set off during that orgasm makes her attached to him emotionally for 3 weeks. And I'll explain why. When you were a cave girl and you met a cave boy back in the cave days.
If you've ever seen The Leftovers, you know what we're talking about. Hey, if you ever seen The Flintstones, you know what we're talking
about. Back in the Flintstone days when there was cave women and cavemen and they had a good time together, there was no such thing as a pregnancy test.
What?
And there wasn't great birth control.
What?
So basically, for
history
3 weeks,
is crazy. Can I just say that? History is crazy. Okay, go ahead.
For 3 weeks, the woman didn't know whether she was pregnant or not. She was waiting for her next period. We've all been there.
We've definitely been there.
for those 3 weeks, she was thinking about how she might have to couple up with this guy so he could protect her and her baby. For men, after they have an orgasm, how long are they emotionally attached to the woman? 3 days. Obviously, this doesn't apply if they're in love or committed.
Wait, I've never even experienced like 3 seconds.
Okay, yes, you have, but...
That's true. But I'm just saying, like, it seems more like 3 seconds.
So, some of this, I'm just saying, can be biology. Some of it's physical. It explains why you can be hooking up with a guy, not liking him at all, and still wanting him to reach out to you. And it's why, quote unquote, good dick is a prison.
Yeah.
So,
what's that quote from?
I actually think my mom told it to me.
Okay.
So, I completely understand the situation. I will say I would get your feelings down on paper. Because sometimes it's also scary to be making a big move like this. So sometimes we reach for something and just something to feel stable. And we want a relationship during times that we feel really insecure about other things. What is New York going to be like? What is my career going to be like? And just acknowledge what you emotionally want. And also, it sounds like you're very cognizant that your feelings and intentions aren't matching up. And that's okay. You can be jealous. You can be annoyed. It will not kill you. But I have been in situations before where I have let my confusion play out in a situation that's ended up hurting the other person. So I've been very murky and the other person's very unclear. Like, wait, why are you telling me that I can't be with other girls, but you don't want to be with me?
Yeah, as I've shared on the podcast before, one of my clearly stated concerns about moving from New York to LA was, as I said to many friends, I knew I had a crush in New York, but I didn't know if I would have a crush in LA. So that freaked me out. And at the time when I moved, I was like engaging in all this self-destructive behavior and like doing old, just kind of like stuff that I thought I had matured past. And my therapist pointed out that I was probably looking for distractions because
Devin was dressing up as a Teletubby and going to Teletubby conventions. And she was like, I thought I was over the Teletubby
thing. I thought I was done with this. I thought I would never put the Teletubby suit back on. I thought I would never have a heat stroke in a Teletubby suit again. But there I was. I'm like, emergency session, SOS therapist. Okay, I'm in the Teletubby suit. And yeah, I had a heat stroke. And yeah, now I'm back awake drinking water. What do I do? no, but it was a really helpful piece of advice. She basically was like, sometimes if you have like a big, overarching, overwhelming problem, you look for like little distracting problems to be like, oh, I can just focus on
this. Wow, yeah.
So I was like, okay, like I'm being immature. I'm doing this stupid stuff. And she was like, that's not the real issue. The real issue is that you're like doing a really big deal of a thing, which is moving across the country, which is really exciting, but you're like overwhelmed. So you're looking for a distraction. Anyway, that was like one of the most helpful pieces of advice I've ever gotten. And I do think that like sticking with your instincts and not adding confusion to a situation is for the best. And if you're meant to be with this person, that will be revealed. And I mean, it seems like you're doing the right things because instead of like reacting when you were jealous about this weird trip he went on with 6 female friends, which by the way, interesting.
Is he the next Bachelor?
Yeah. Like, is he in La Jolla, California? No, I just think, yeah, like instead of reacting, you reached out for help, which is great. And just keep doing that. And welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York.
Boys can be with boys. Girls can be with girls. Yes, that is from civil rights icon Taylor Swift.
Wait, is that in the song?
Yes.
Oh, dang. Okay.
We are going to be right back with an amazing interview that I am going to play next time I meet a guy who judges me for my Teletubbies background. Yes. We'll be right back. I want you.
Romance. Welcome back to True Romance. Let's get into our guest for the day.
So today on True Romance, we have a very exciting guest who is an expert. Expert people, not like me and Devin, on all things breakup. She's a breakup coach and host of the popular podcast Breakup Boost. Please welcome to the pod, Trina Lecky.
Hey, welcome. Guys.
How are
you? Thanks for being with us.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me on.
I think a lot of our listeners, and I myself, had never heard of a breakup coach before. And we were wondering, is this a field that exists, or do you realize that there was a niche that was missing?
Well, when I first came up with the idea, I had never actually heard of it. And I thought, oh my God, this is genius. So I got really excited about it. I had Googled it later and then discovered that there was some other people doing it as well. But I think it's just over the last couple of years, it's got more popular. I think a lot of people see breakup coach on Instagram or something, and then they suddenly think, oh, I could do that too. And then it just kind of, you know, everyone suddenly has that career, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so that's kind of how it went down.
It's brilliant because it's like, I need someone to tell me how to work out. Like, I need to go to a class or take a YouTube video or something. And then I feel like when an end of a relationship is happening, you just feel like this, I have no idea where to begin.
Yeah, especially because when you're the one going through it and when you're the one in it and it's your emotions, you can't think straight, right?
Right,
and,
right.
You know, so many people, it's so easy to give other people advice and tell them, oh, well, just this or that, or, you know, do this. And it's so different when you're the one in it, right? And it's the kind of thing where you can't even remember how bad it felt at the time when you're going through it, and unless you're actually in it at that moment, you know, because it's the worst feeling. Heartbreak sucks.
It is the worst feeling possible. And I think that we've all been in situations where we know the right thing to do in a relationship or in a breakup, and we just cannot do it. We just cannot. Like, I'm just like, no, I know I'm doing the wrong thing, or I know that this is not going to work out, but I just, there's physically and emotionally not a way for me to do anything different because my emotions are running so high.
Yeah, exactly. Well, a huge part of it is confidence. And the thing is, there's such a difference between, if you really do value yourself and you really do believe you deserve better, you're going to be more likely to walk away from a bad situation. It's when you don't feel like you actually do deserve more. You know, it's one thing, I say, it's one thing to go click I deserve the world on Instagram posts,
right,
but are you actually living that life, right? And that's so true. Confidence is everything. You know, it all boils down to confidence.
Yeah. I know it's hard. Like, even since we started this podcast, I feel like, you know, not to humble brag, but sometimes people will write in and say, like, thank you for giving this advice about this specific thing on the podcast. It really helped me. Or like, thank you for talking about this. And I always think, like, okay, some of these things, I know the advice and I can give the advice, but I can't necessarily practice it in my own life because it's so much harder.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I think on one podcast episode, I said something like, go out there and just, like, you can do it. And I can't wait to just go out after the pandemic and just flirt with guys. And I was literally lying in my bed the other night thinking about, like, okay, I'll wear that outfit, I'll go to a bar. No, I'll go home. That is terrifying.
Were you always someone that your friends like relied on for breakup advice? I feel like Carolina was always the person for me that I immediately call if I had any like relationship problems. Were you that person for many of your friends? Did that like contribute to your career path?
I don't think it really contributed to my career path, but I kind of was always the voice of reason, you know, mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like the way I am, I'm a straight shooter. And a lot of people, mm-hmm. they're scared to be too honest. They're scared, oh, I can't say this because this person's going to be mad. And I'm just very direct and honest, yet compassionate, you know? So I like offering my advice because I don't like seeing people struggle and suffer, you know? And I think if you're a really true friend, you're gonna do that. So
yeah,
it kind of just, yeah, it's not that influenced me, but it was funny because a lot of people would always be like, you're so good at this, you should be a coach, you know? And so, there'll be people I'll meet just randomly or through another work thing and they don't even know I'm doing this. And then they just start divulging everything to me. And then by the end of it, they're like, you should do this for a living. I'm like, actually, I do. They're like, what? Yeah.
That's
so it's
funny.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Was there a particular heartbreak experience that you went through or watched someone else go through that led to this work? I went through a really bad breakup in New York that was borderline famous. Some people I didn't know came up to me saying, I'm going through a breakup right now and it's really bad. And I heard you went through a really bad one. And I would like light a cigarette and be like, sit down, sweetie. Buckle up because it's going to be a doozy.
For me, no. Like, clearly, I feel like I've pretty much experienced everything, like everything hellish you could imagine and good things and everything in between. But and a lot of people, it's funny because they'll say, oh my God, you must have really got your heart broken. And I'm just like, excuse me, haven't we all? Like, everybody's got their heart broken. Whether you broke up or you're the one breaking up, like, your heart's still going to get broken, right? So yeah. I was actually in a really good place when I came up with this idea, because even if I was in a really low place or like sulking a bit, I wouldn't even have the motivation or energy to start this, you know? So mm-hmm. It basically just stemmed from a place of knowing how much it sucks to go through it and wanting to just to be a support system, because I know there's people need support out there, you know, they just do.
I think Devin and I talk about this a lot, and it's something that I find really interesting, which is if I figure out this part of my life, I have room for other parts. So it's like, it's sort of like if you're sick, right? And I have to get healthy so I can go to work, and so I can explore hobbies and explore, like you were saying, like a career path and be healthy enough for those things. And so one of the reasons Devin and I wanted to start this podcast is because these things, and we've had it ourselves, can consume you if you don't know what to do.
Or yeah.
It's like I've had issues with food over the course of my life that have been really serious. And when I look back on them, I'm like, thank God I'm healthy now, because that took so much of my time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Like it sucks the life out of you. I mean, I know when I've gone through my own breakups or relationship problems, even, you don't have any energy. You feel so low. Your anxiety's through the roof, you know, like you can't concentrate and you just don't feel like yourself anymore. And so, yeah, it really puts a damper on everything. It's a rippling effect. You know, it's going to affect everything. It's not like, okay, all this stuff sucks, but then I'm just going to be so amazing and chipper in the rest of my life. Like, it's just, it affects everything, right? So,
yeah. What, if you had to describe your approach to breakups in three words, what would they be?
Definitely.
Just Do It by Nike.
Yeah. That's a good one, actually. Definitely no sugarcoating.
Mm-hmm.
Compassionate and empowering, because I'm all about, it's not just with me, it's not just about getting you through this breakup, it's about fixing everything within and building yourself up from within and not feeling like you even need somebody that bad. You know, so many people are just like, oh my God, I need to find someone, and oh, I'm at this age, I need to find someone, and there's like this panic and family mm-hmm. and societal pressure and all these things going on, and you know, it's just not necessary.
Yeah. We ask a lot of our guests this question. What was the best piece of relationship or breakup advice that you've given and that you've received?
Okay. So in terms of given, there's endless pieces, right? Because there's just so many parts. But I would say one of the key pieces is that I would give people is go with the flow of life. Mm-hmm. Right. Stop trying to force things that aren't working. It's just
right.
a dead end. It's you're wasting time. Right. So just be confident that, you know what, this isn't working because something else better is down the road. You're being redirected to something else, you know, and you, when you can actually get in that mindset and actually live that way, your life is so much easier and you're going to be more free. But it's hard to get to that point for a lot of people, because you can tell them that and they're like, oh, yeah. But then 2 seconds later, they're like, oh, my God, panicking again. You know, in terms of something that I saw, a piece of advice that I got that really resonated with me, I would say that it was something I read one day, and this is before I started breakup coaching, but in terms of accountability, because so many times, like I've been in situations in the past where, you know, you end up saying, oh my God, like I did all these things for this person, or they did this to me again, and oh, they're not doing this and they're not doing that. They're not listening. They don't care, on and on and on. But it's like, wait a second, but you have the choice to be in that relationship.
Right.
So it's always a choice, right? So when that really set in, it's like a real aha moment. And then it's also very empowering, because then you realize, wait a second, I actually don't have to settle for this crap. It's my choice.
Yeah, that is something that Carolina definitely has told me a few times, is like, you can either stay and deal with this or you don't have to. And it is so simple. But at the times that she said that to me, like, my mind was blown because I was like, no, this is my life. And I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, when I was like in my very early 20s, this is like 10 years ago, I was, like you said, just caught up in the, okay, then he did this. And so then I was forced to say this. And then,
right,
you know, we were screaming at each other in the middle of the street at 2 a.m. And I remember I talked to my friend about it, expecting her to be like, what? Oh, my God. And then, oh, my God, he is the worst. Okay.
Yeah.
And then what really affected me is that she just smiled and nodded and said, okay, well, you can keep doing this or you don't have to. And I was like, and then she literally had to go. So she hopped in a cab and
went
away.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
sounds like a movie.
It was. Yeah. It was a life-changing moment because I was, and it's the advice that I pass on to everyone. Like, people, yeah, will be like, I'm trying to get my ex sober or I'm trying to whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, you can figure out how to get someone who's cheating on you to, you know, if you really want this, if you think that this is meant to be. And I've seen people get married who have had really toxic courtships. I'll be like, good for it. Go do
right.
it. But it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of emotional energy that could be spent elsewhere. And you don't have, no one's forcing you to. But I was going to say that I love your go with the flow thing, because I think for me, one of the hardest things about breakups is that I'm a planner. Like, I love going on Zillow. I love looking at houses.
Yes.
I'm not even like a huge wedding person. Like, I don't like the princess gowns or anything, but I like the idea of planning a party.
Yeah.
And so I could see myself eloping, but I still like to plan the elopement. So I basically, what I'm saying is I have this fantasy that I'll try and force even when it's clear that life is not heading in that direction. And that's sometimes the hardest part, is like mourning that dream a little bit.
Yeah. Well, but then a huge problem with that, too, is like you said, it's that it's an event. It's a one day event. There's so much more that people don't even think about. They're thinking about, you know, uploading engagement photos and planning this wedding and checking off that box. There's so much about checking off that box when people are just completely clueless. Like, they don't really realize, wait a second, the next day, if we had problems, wait a second, they're still there. Only we're legally tied, and now we can't even just break up. We're like, literally have to go through this big rigmarole and hire lawyers and on and on and on. Like, there's just so much involved. People don't know what they're getting themselves into for the most part. And it's that fairy tale that's been sold since we were kids that, you know, okay, you're going to grow up, you're going to get married, you're going to have kids, you're going to have the wedding. And it's just, it's so ingrained in us, you know, especially when a woman turns like about 30, there's just this huge amount of pressure. And then
go on.
I didn't. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, I just wish so many more people would let go of that, because honestly, when you get older and past that, you're just like, oh, my God, thank God I didn't end up with so and so. Or you just, it's this life that you look at life so much differently than, you know, when you're like in your 20s or even 30s. Like, it's just you see things so much differently, and it's freeing. You know, you don't, you want to stay more true to yourself versus getting all caught up in something that you're getting, you know, you're getting in over your head about. Because that's why so many people end up getting divorced then. And even if they're not getting divorced, just because 50% don't get divorced, it doesn't mean that they're happy. Like, how many of those are actually happy? 10% are really happy? You know, seriously, you know?
That's such a good point.
I think some of the best wedding advice I got was actually from the comedian Will Ferrell. And he said something I love, which is that if you're going to get married, make sure both parties are really into it. Because Will is in that 10% of couples who are so happy. And both him and his wife love their marriage, are very excited about, like, spending time with each other.
Mm-hmm. And that's a rare thing. That's a beautiful thing. But it's also, you know, it's also a rare thing. And there's so many people, too, who think that, you know, getting married is going to fix a broken relationship, you know, or having that baby is going to fix things, or you know, oh, they're not going to cheat on me if we're married. And, you know, like, it's just, it goes on and on and on. So, like, you really have to, you have to be 100% invested.
I'm so curious because we actually get a lot of questions about after the breakup on exes. And what are your thoughts on staying in contact with an ex?
My thought is, if you don't, like, if you don't actually want to move on from your heartbreak and you want to stay stuck, sure, stay in contact, you know? Stalk them and call them and text them and on and on and on. You know, it, the key to moving on from a relationship is no contact. You should not be in contact. And so.
And that includes viewing their social media and their friends' social media.
And their Venmo and their PayPal and their, their and their Poshmark. Their Poshmark.
Their Poshmark. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so hard. It's like I do try to have no contact. But every breakup that I've been through, I've been like, that's my thing. We're going to have no contact. And that's, I know that's the best way to do it. And that's how we're going to do it. And then every time it's just so hard because I don't know, like this feeling just comes over of sometimes it's like, did I make a mistake? But other times it's like, what if this person's not okay? What if they need me? Like that codependent thing. And I had a friend one time give me the advice of like, you already, because I was like, this person needs me. They keep calling me. They keep texting me. Like, I have to respond. I'm worried about them. And she was like, you already did the right thing. You were honest with this person and said you don't want to be in a relationship with them anymore. So that's all you have to do. Like, why would you have to keep talking? And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess that's true. But it's just hard when someone reaches out to you. I think that it's just even harder to set a boundary. But I do agree that it's the only way to safely move on.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why, you know, that's why I often say, like, after a breakup, you should literally block the person. It's not so much like it's all hostile. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it's immature and petty. That's just because they don't have the strength to do it. Right. That's those are the people who are saying that, because it's too easy to get caught up. It doesn't matter what you say to yourself or the self-talk. It's too easy to get caught up again if someone reaches out. And, you know, you could think, well, oh, I don't think, I hear this all the time. People say, oh, well, I don't think they're going to reach out. It's like, okay, yeah, just block them then. You know, like you have to block them. You're just trying to rationalize, make excuses for why you're not blocking it, you know, and it's just, you don't want to get into a point where, okay, you made it 30 days and you're feeling so much better and then suddenly you got sucked back in, or maybe you went out drinking one night, you end up at their house and you sleep with them. Like, it's just bad decisions, you know, like, you know, and so no contact, it's for yourself. Right. That's how it should be looked at. You have to prioritize yourself. And that's what, you know, it's just, it's a world of difference. Like so many people who reach out to me and they just think, oh, I can't do it. I'll never get through it. And I just like, you have to do it. Right. The second they break no contact, they regret it. So it's either like, you know, but it, once they do it, they're like, oh, my God, that I can't believe it worked. You know, it does work. You just need the time and distance to get your emotions in check and get that clarity. And it's amazing. It makes a world of difference.
I love that. And I'm a huge proponent, fan, champion of blocking. I think it's such a healing thing to do. And I totally hear you when you say some people think it's petty or immature. And that's what used to in college and stuff. I just wanted my ex to know that, oh, I don't care if you see me. In fact, like, I'm so over it that you can watch these pictures of me like with my arm around some guy at a party, like I but then all of my energy would be to putting up this front and basically like posting revenge pics or look how much fun I'm having or etc. And I realized that I was scared to look petty only to them. No one else is following my social media movements, you know? And so yeah, I block their friends. And that was something that used to scare me too, was like, then their friends will think I'm being crazy. And it's like, who cares? Again, like, this is for me. This is for me not to stop looking back, because I want to make space for what's to come.
And exactly. Exactly. And the friend thing too. One thing that really annoys me is, say a girl contacts me and her boyfriend cheated on her and her friends are still connected with this girl's boyfriend and social media. I'm just like, what kind of friends are these? Like, get rid of this guy. Even if he didn't cheat, get rid of him. Like, put yourself in her shoes, you know, stuff like that. Just irks me because I don't think that's cool. But
yeah, one of the hardest parts of breakups for me is that you do end up spending a lot of time with your boyfriend's friends. And so when you break up, it's like, and it's happened to me in every single breakup since I was literally 16, 17, is you feel like I'm not just breaking up with this partner. I'm not just getting dumped by this partner. What do I do on Saturdays that we would spend the whole day together with their friends? And so I have to say goodbye to them too. And it's sort of like, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they're your friends first or whatever. I mean, that's something I'm interested. What is your perspective on that in terms of like the separation of things?
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. But it's part of it. It's just like the same thing could be said for family. People get attached to families, you know, and then, you know, people contact me and they're saying they're still in contact with their ex's parents and on and on. It's just like, this is just not good, you know, and the parents shouldn't be doing that either. It's kind of just, you know, yeah, it sucks, but you kind of have to cut ties. Like, you know, if it's different if you're a couple and then you have mutual friends that you met together, of course, you know, you're going to still stay in contact with that. But I think if, you know, if people are really close friends with your ex, I think it just makes things awkward unless you guys are totally cool with everything and there's no awkwardness and the person doesn't care if you're friends with them. That could be a different story. But if things are sticky, then I don't think it's a smart idea. It just seems to cause a lot of drama.
Yeah. I think that also the social media thing, it really can be like a drug. Like it's like a hit. Looking up the person and seeing what they're doing is like a hit of of some kind of like
dopamine.
Yeah, like just like a high. It gives you like a brief high and then this like immediate like come down emptiness feeling. So I think that is so hard. And the only way to avoid that sometimes is just like fully delete the app, because there are so many ways now to get to someone's profile, like, I don't know, or see like, you know, other people posting pictures of them. So yeah, sometimes I guess deleting is the only answer.
Yeah, it just seems like for the most part, if you can get through 1 week, that's a huge, like right at the beginning, if you can get through 1 week, and then you build from there, and 2 weeks, eventually you lose that urge. It's just that beginning part that's so hard. It's just like, it's a breaking an addiction, right? It's just like suddenly if you were addicted to drugs and then you go cold turkey or alcohol cold turkey, I mean, that beginning period is going to be the most difficult. So you kind of just have to, you know, suffer through it. But there's no easy. It just takes a lot of willpower. And I think I always tell people, you know, if you have that urge, stop yourself in that moment and just like get in the pattern of stop yourself and say, okay, why am I doing this? Is this really a good idea? And I'm going to feel worse. Probably. Okay. Like, don't just act, like think first, you know?
Right.
It helps. It
took me 30 years to realize I didn't have to do everything I thought of.
Yeah.
I was like, I thought about doing this and oops, I'm here.
We have to take a quick break and we'll be right back with more true romance.
I want true romance.
Welcome back to True Romance.
When do you recommend, like, yeah, it's time?
When you're literally dreading hanging out with the person or dreading things about the person, right? When you start bickering all the time, I mean, that's not pleasant. When you feel like you're distancing yourself, maybe you're making excuses not to see them. You're not putting any effort anymore. You're suddenly busy with friends or just want to stay home. You're feeling really irritable. I know a huge one for me is an extreme amount of anxiety when I'm not in a good situation. And you wake up with the anxiety. You go to bed. You can't sleep. It's the worst feeling. And you know what? It's so important to pay attention to your body. Like if you're feeling anxious and low energy and all that, that is your body telling you this is not a good situation for you. You need to make some changes, you know? So we really got to pay attention to that because, you know, and that, because I know like even after, you know, you go through the breakup and all that, you can still be experiencing anxiety, but then it like eases up and then suddenly you're like, I feel like myself again, you know? And it's just like, oh, thank God you can breathe again. And Yeah, so I would say really pay attention to how you're feeling physically. It's just like the same thing, like when you're all in love and happy and you're just like, oh my God, I have so much energy. I'm so happy. I don't even want to sleep. I just want to talk to this person all the time. It's amazing the shift it takes, right? So yeah, pay attention to how you're feeling.
I was just, it's so funny that you mentioned that because I had a flashback this week to, I think I was a senior in college and I was dating this guy and it was just very volatile. And he had been upset with me, but then I was going on Christmas break to see my family. So I went to Santa Fe with my family. It was this beautiful vacation, but the whole time I was freaking out about this guy being mad at me. And so I was trying to take calls whenever I could to check in with him. I was waiting for him to respond to my text. I was worried that he was emotionally cheating on me. So I was trying to maintain contact as often as possible. And I remember getting on the plane to go back to New York to see him. And I couldn't wait for the plane to land so I could turn on my phone and text him. And it was like this body feeling of like, the plane has to land because I have to turn on my phone because I have to text him and make sure that like we're still together and everything's okay. And I think sometimes you can mistake those feelings for attachment or love, but it's like what you were saying. It was not a good feeling. It was all anxiety. Mm-hmm. And this was someone who was supposed to make my life easier by being attached to. And it was like heart palpitations, like having to calm down, trying to make sure I looked amazing, like going to see him right after I got, you know, after I landed, when in reality, what you really want to do is just like go home and shower and go to bed.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, for that, you know, we always talk about red flags in other people, but we also have to really pay attention to those red flags within ourselves. And so those would be red flags within yourself, you know, and it's almost like this person's consuming you, right? Yeah. And your life revolves around this person, and that's not healthy. But it's so I think we've all gone through that. I think we've all, it's so easy to get into that pattern, you know, and then people also they get so scared of the thought of losing someone because they're like, oh my God, I could never go through that pain again. And that can cause you to overthink everything too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely have been in those situations where everyone's like, you know, it should still be like mostly good when you're when you're in a relationship. It should actually be mostly good and easy and not a constant panic attack. And in those situations, I've always had like the self-justifications or like the excuses of like, well, I know, but it's just because like he's going through something right now and like it's gonna get better. But right now it's just like this. And I didn't know that it was possible to be in a relationship that's not like that, but it is. And I think that's really helpful advice, the like listening to your body. And if whenever someone asks you about your relationship, your first response is to be like, well, then that's a bad sign, I think.
Yeah, or if you're constantly complaining about your relationship or literally gossiping about your own relationship all the time. Yes. I mean, this is not good. This is not good.
Yes, totally. And I think that's so common to get in that cycle of like, it's normal to just complain about this person all the time.
Exactly. And then it's also a matter of respect too, right? Like, I wouldn't want some guy going with his buddies and divulging all our information or talking about me over beers. Like, it's just, it's not good either, you know? So
I think there's a healthy amount of like, oh, guys, like my boyfriend's sick and he won't stop talking about how he's sick because like guys can't get a cold without like freaking out about it and being like, this fucking asshole. Like,
yeah, there's a happy medium.
There's a happy medium. But I agree in terms of this should feel good most of the time. And for me, it's because I get stressed about other things. Like, I remember the Australia wildfires. I'm a huge animal person, and I just get really overwhelmed when I think that animals are suffering. So I was like crying, and I remember my boyfriend at the time just holding me, and I at the time, like, if it had been something where I was like, and also this fucking relationship, like, I can't handle being stressed about the news, being stressed about work, making sure that, you know, being stressed about my landlord, and then also having, you know, the stable part of my life be complicated. I don't have the room.
Yeah, no, it's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. And I mean, especially even at a time like this that we're going through now, it's just, it's, it gives you even more time to think and worry and stress about things, which, I mean, isn't good. But at the same time, part of it is good because it can kind of make you sort out your life and remove things that aren't working and kind of take inventory and stuff like that.
Well, that's a question that, or something that Devin and I have spoken about a lot too, is the pandemic breakup. And What is your opinion on that? Because we've obviously seen a lot of celebrities break up in the pandemic, which I always think is funny because Devin and I talk about how it indicates that you can have everything is perfect. You can both be beautiful, attractive, successful, rich. You could be able to afford to fly to Bali on a last minute's notice and spend the week together. And things can still, as the coffee mugs say, someone somewhere is still tired of their shit.
Yeah, well, the thing with celebrities, though, it's everything's for image. So even on a regular day, I mean, what's true and what's not, right?
Yeah.
So as for the pandemic, I actually think that if your relationship is actually really solid and healthy, not saying everything's perfect, no relationship is perfect, but I believe that if it's actually solid, it can survive COVID. And I think that the ones that aren't, it's because there's no distractions anymore. You have to spend more time with this person. You can't just run away. Maybe you're stuck in a house with them. And, you know, it's just so easy on a regular day-to-day basis where you could just go out on the weekends or, you know, you go to work all day. There's just so much more to occupy your time and your mind. But when you have nothing to distract you anymore and you're faced head on with your relationship problems and issues, you have to deal with them. So I actually think that's a good thing, because why would you want to go on wasting your time with something that's not working and it's actually not making you happy anyway? So, you know, people have to get better at letting go of things. So I think it can be a positive that, you know, people are breaking up, just because if they're breaking up, it's for a reason.
That's another question that we had, which is, on the flip side, how do you advise people to respond when being broken up with? So when it's not your choice, when you feel like, despite some inconveniences, that even, you know, relationship isn't perfect, you really want to keep going with it, what do you do when the other side doesn't feel the same way?
The main thing is, again, you don't want to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you, right? You can always think that you're going to plan, or if someone listening to this right now, they'd say, oh, well, if I was going through a breakup, I would do this. You don't know until you're in that moment how you're going to feel. You don't know how it's going to go down. You don't know what this person's going to say to you. You don't know how your emotions are going to get triggered. So it's just kind of up in the air. You kind of have to play it by ear a little bit. But the main thing I would recommend is, please don't beg, plead, or try to convince this person. Please don't do that, right? It's not going to work. It's going to push the person even further away. You have to maintain your dignity, right? Yeah, this is not easy, but you have to accept that what this person is saying, like, you can't force someone to be with you, you know? And I think that it's just so important. Take that time to ask all the questions you need answers to. You don't want to then be later, weeks or months later, oh, I still need closure and like all that stuff. Like, what do you need answered? You know, it's pretty straightforward. Why do you want to break up? They're telling you. And, you know, lots of people just, they keep talking about closure because they're looking for a reason to call this person again or see them again and all that. It's like, the closure is that the relationship is not working. And so, yeah, but basically, do not be the person who's begging or reaching out constantly after, or, you know, texting or sending flowers and all that. It's going to work against you. It just is. Mm-hmm. You know, people want someone who can, like, it's more attractive if you can pull yourself together as well. Not that you're trying to look attractive to your ex, but, you know, maintain that dignity and feel good about yourself, because then you're going to look back and you're not going to cringe at your behavior.
Right. Because I think cringing is my number one hobby. But I completely agree. And I feel like it's changed my responses to being, I was dumped once in college by this guy that I was like, we are getting married. There's no choice. We're suffering through this together. And I did the begging and the crying and they're like, what? No, we're happy. All of it. And when, you know, and then when the breakup kind of cements and you guys aren't in contact, you're left with feeling like shit because you treated yourself like shit. You know, you degraded yourself by treating this person like they were the end and like that they were the, your end all of grace.
Yes. Yeah. Like on
I
a pedestal.
I forgot how to say end all of which is what happened.
They are your...
We are your... Fill in the blank.
Yeah, because people put their ex on a pedestal and there's suddenly the breakup happens and they're telling themselves, oh my God, everything was perfect. I'm never going to meet anyone else again. They were the perfect match for me. And it just goes on and on and on. So that's why I always tell people, you have to take a step back and be honest with yourself and see things for what they really are. Because if someone's breaking up with you, you're probably not happy either. You're just reacting to being dumped. And that's another thing, too, is when you're the one who's dumped, you think you want that person so much more suddenly because it's human nature to want what we can't have. So your mind can play tricks on you, you know, but if people look back and start really analyzing the relationship themselves, they'll realize, oh, yeah, okay, this happened. Yeah, I didn't like when he did this or she did that or, you know, on and on. And then you start to see things more clearly. But it's just there's something about the rejection that people suddenly then they have this urgency. Oh, my God, I got to get this person back.
I also have simply not been okay with someone being okay after a breakup. I know that sounds very sociopathic, but just thinking like this is going to destroy them. Oh my God. And then breaking up with some of them being like, okay, well, that was fun. I'm going to be on my merry way. I'm like, no. And then you feeling the grief of that. You're like, wait, what the fuck is going on? I need to get them back. And I can't believe I did that. And this relationship meant so much to me and nothing to them. And I think it is similar to what you're saying. You want what they, you know, you want what you can't have. And all of a sudden the relationship looks amazing to you when all of a sudden you're single and starting the process of dating again.
But at the same time, I think people need to remind themselves that just because the other person seems fine, it doesn't mean they are. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're not hurting. It's just like you could be the one who broke up with the person and you're still hurting, but you just know you had to do it for whatever reason. So, you know, and it goes back to social media again, or even like celebrities, like we think everything's so perfect, or just people in general, people are acting like their life is so perfect and happy online. And so, you know, it's just you have to look at things realistically and, you know, just because this person may be posting a picture that they're out having beers with their friends or something, that doesn't mean anything. And maybe they're just doing that. Like so many people are using that for a strategy to make the other person upset or jealous and just for them to think that, oh, I'm doing fine, but then they're going home and crying. So it's best just not to make assumptions. And that's why we have to go back to, you know, not looking at social media and not staying in touch and none of that, because you can take yourself off and create all these stories that aren't even happening. And then you're putting yourself in a tailspin.
Yeah, but these are my hobbies. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. We have to ask, and please feel free to refuse to answer or we can take this out, but what is your current relationship status and how has your career impacted your love life, if at all?
Okay. Well, my current status is I'm single and there's actually no ounce of me, I can honestly say this 100%, that is thinking I even want to be in a relationship right now or like, oh, I'm missing out or any of that.
I feel the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's so freeing to get to that point because, you know, like I said, in the past, you get so consumed. Oh my God, I need this. I need that. I need to meet this person. And I don't like, no, like right now, my main thing is my business and reaching my goals and my personal accomplishments. Because even, you know, you could meet someone and then things are great. And just like this happened to me, say, like, not even that long ago, I was like, I don't want a relationship, whatever. I ended up meeting this guy randomly because I'm not on dating apps. I don't do it. I always believe in just meeting someone unexpectedly. Anyway, he was very attractive. We really hit it off. So I'm like, okay, that's the thing. I'm not going to pass up something that could, you know, if I really like the person. But then it bit me in the butt because, you know, things started happening. I started getting so distracted, and I just, I felt like, oh my God, I put everything on the back burner for myself again. And so it just reiterated like, no, this is not, I don't want to do this anymore. I've invested so many years into trying to, you know, into others. And this is time for me to do for myself. And the thing is, I don't want to get married. So I'm not in that stage where I'm just like, oh my God, I got to get married. So that takes so much pressure off right there. I'm more of, you know, just like, again, going with the flow of life, like, you know, if someone comes along that's amazing and like literally amazing, not just looks good or whatever, like,
right,
then sure. But if not, I don't have time for that. I don't want it anymore. I just don't care. You know, mm-hmm. like if you're not going to really, you know, be the kind of person that I've learned that I do, that I would want, then it's not worth it. Like, I don't need a guy just to have a guy.
I have a very similar outlook to you right now. And the way I feel is that I have to be in the position to say, I can't not date this person. I have to find someone who I feel that way about, where it's like, I have to think this is too good to not be in my life. And I felt that way before, in the sense of like, yeah, I have to date this person. This is too much fun. He makes me laugh too much. The chemistry is so there. And that I feel like is going with the flow as well.
Exactly. No, and that's the thing where, you know, it shows like when you get everything you just said, it shows like you've learned from the past, and it shows like you're setting standards, right? And staying true to yourself and setting those standards is just so important. You know, you don't want to, you know, there's a saying I like, when you settle for crumbs, you're always going to be starving. Mm-hmm. And don't settle. Yeah, exactly.
Embroidered pillow.
Yeah.
We are so grateful that you gave us a freebie on this episode.
I know. I feel like I just got like an hour long therapy session.
Aww. And
so many good pieces of advice that I can share with people in the future.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we are going to pass on your advice like it's our own. But we are definitely going to throw people your way. What is the best way for people to reach you? Besides, of course, sorry, I just shouted into my mic. Besides, of course, going and listening to Breakup Boost on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts.
I'm on Instagram at Breakup Boost, and then breakupboost.com is my website, where they can also order email or phone coaching or call the hotline I have. People don't even have to book an appointment. They can just call the hotline and talk to me for as little or as long as they like. And yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
Well, great. Thank you again for coming on the pod. We are
thank you,
fans,
Trina.
And this advice is going to go in my mental piggy bank.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was a joy to be on your podcast.
Oh, good.
Thank you. We're glad you had fun.
And that was our amazing guest, Trina. I want to someday be as put together as Trina was for our interview. By the way, so we can always see see the person we're interviewing on Zoom. Devin and I usually look like we just woke up, someone put a gun to our heads and said, get on Zoom right now.
I know. The thing is, like, I always am like, okay, I'm going to look good for the podcast today. Like, this is my one job I have right now. Like, I should like look nice. And I'm interviewing people I never met. I should look nice. And then always, like, it's like a series of events that stand in the way between me and my shower. And I just can't cross the hurdles. So I just roll onto the Zoom and I'm like, hey, is this a
Devin,
true romance?
Is this true romance? It's Devin.
Hey, this is Devin. Is this happen to be true romance brought to you by Big Nunny Players Network? Okay.
I look like I'm wearing one of those wigs that you find in Rite Aid right around, or that you find in Duane Reade or CVS or Rite Aid right around the time of Halloween. And so many people have already touched it that it's like all ratty in the back.
I know. It's actually like sickening to think about the fact that before COVID, I like went into a CVS and bought a mask, like a Halloween mask, and just like wore it right out of the store. Who knows how many people touched that?
Handshakes seem gross. I can't believe I shook strangers' hands. Disgusting. I also remember one time that I went into a supermarket around Halloween, me and a friend, and we found gorilla costumes.
Wow.
We put those on immediately. We ran around the store. We humped stuffed animals. Yes, I was 16. We thought that was funny, and I want to be honest with you when I say it was.
I wasn't even there, but it was.
And we proceeded to be kicked out immediately, but not before purchasing those gorilla costumes and then saying, yes, we will leave right now.
It's amazing to think what we were okay with when we lived in Reno, Nevada. No, I'm kidding. But that would be cool if we were from there. So we looked like trash. Trina looked stunningly gorgeous, and she put up with us anyway. Yeah, she's got some great pep talks.
Thank you so much for tuning into True Romance this week. We will catch you next time. And as Britney Spears said once, by wearing a t-shirt and walking with her bodyguard, dump him.
Yes. Thank you for listening. Bye.